Connacht was probably one of the easier times that I had, to be honest with you. Thoroughly enjoyed it. But as we've just seen with Graham, it's a tenuous position, and just like that, you can be gone.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
You are welcome to the Racing Pod. No John Duggan this week. He's off in Boston, and I imagine he will be taking it all in where the turf meets the surf and the other side of the States in Delmar. Tom Bugsy Malone was on last week, and he gave hot as hell in the big one at Doncaster. Big, big price, 11-1 as his winning nap as well. But on the show today, later on, we're going to be joined by the broadcaster and racing commentator Jane Mangan, former amateur rider, and former amateur rider JJ Slevin, who turned pro in 2013, is going to join us very shortly as well. And just to mention, the Racing Pod and Off the Ball is brought to you every week, every Friday, including analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews and crack. And the first half of the pod every week will be free to air, and the second part will be exclusively for members. Be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. You won't want to miss out on all the info. JJ, you're injured.
Yeah, on the sidelines at the minute, Johnny.
What happened?
Ball and Gorn about at that October meeting there. It's nearly a month ago now, so broke the vernacular bone in the top of my foot, so had an operation in Waterford. So I'm on the road to recovery another 3 weeks. Hopefully should see me back, please God.
I actually was just looking back on that day, your first couple of rides that day. One of them was, I think one of them was 150-1, one of them was 200-1. You don't mind getting on big price horses for yards you have a kind of relationship with, and I know yourself and Richie Rath go back a long way.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I rode my first graded winner for Richie in about 2015, I'd say, in the Grade 3 hurling Cork on a horse called Malicia Tim. And look, Richie's looked after me all the way along. And yeah, I've no bother riding for them sort of lads, smaller yards.
Is it a decent enough time of the season to get injured if such a thing exists?
Not really. Look at the summer. Ideally, if the dying time to get injured, we have a month off in June, if it could be just before that. That's the best time, I suppose. And anywhere in the summer, this is a bit of an important time, as in a lot of horses being schooled and a lot of work to be rode, and the better horses are being built up towards their autumn targets, you know.
Yeah, we're going to build up on the show over the next 40 minutes. So this is a brilliant weekend of race. So we have Down Royal, kind of the return of the jumps race, and clocks have gone back, and then the Breeders' Cup. And we'll get JJ's view on City of Troy going for the Breeders' Cup Classic as well. Just to talk about since the last time we had you on the live show, JJ, it's just been an incredible run for you. Your relationship with Fast or Slow and the good horse you've been riding, it's been magic, I guess.
Yeah, it's just been unreal. Good horses make the game a lot easier if you can manage to get on them. Fast or Slow is an airplane, really. And look, at Joseph's had a few very good horses as well. Banbridge has been a great horse too, you know.
Just talk to me about Fast or Slow then, because I was just actually talking to Martin Brassell recently in, I think it was Mallow actually. It's kind of hard to believe this if you live in some parts of the country, but he was worried that the ground hasn't actually gotten enough rain in recent times. And we've had meetings called off, but the plan is, as of that conversation anyway, to go to the King George. So what are you hearing?
Yeah, look, at if he's in good form, I popped into the yard there last week, so I'm on the court 3 days a week doing in the gym up there and doing physio, so I pop over to see the lads, and he's looking great, and he's in great shape. So yeah, look, that's definitely not unfound with the ground. It's we've had no rain at all, really. It's seen turtles have been called off twice, and there's no water in the ground. The water table is probably quite low at the minute, and you would be hoping it would get a bit of rain to make everything a bit safer. So I'm sure it will happen. There's still 3 weeks to go, and just as long as those good horses can get their toe in and there's no risk of them injuring themselves is the main thing, you know.
Say your relationship with him going back to that victory at Punchestown in 2023, the victory in Punchestown then on his comeback to start last season, and obviously the victory at the end of the season in Punchestown when he again beat Galopin Deschamps. Have you highlighted them? And also, do you feel that he just might be better going right-handed? That's been said to me before.
Yeah, I don't really know where that notion came up, to be honest with you. I never notice any difference in him. Some horses they might lean a bit to their left or jump a bit right or hang a bit right or something like that, but he's just nothing like that. And he's been beaten probably less than half a length of two Cheltenham festivals. So I think there's no real issue with him going the other way around, to be honest with you.
I think as well, why people have warned the stories that Martin Brassel wouldn't have that many horses. He's a quiet man and very popular kind of in his own way around Kildare. And the fact that he's come upon this horse at this stage of his career as well has added to the story.
Yeah, for sure. It's great for, look at a man who is less than 30 horses to hit on. Look at one of the best chasers in the country. And he has the talent and he has the backing to be able to do that. And does right by his horses all the time. And given the ammunition, he deliver every time, you know.
All going well, you're riding in the King George. What would that be like to ride in? Because it's quite a unique test of a horse and jockey.
Yeah, I've never ridden in the King George, but I've ridden around Kempton. And the thing I found about it was how actually on television it looked like quite a big galloping track, but it's quite the opposite. It's actually, everyone always said it was a speed track, and you can really see why. There's three fences up the home straight, probably in only 2.5 furlongs of a home straight, so they come at you pretty quick. And look, I think it would really be made for a horse like Fast or Slow, who's normally a very good jumper and a very good traveller, you know. And so, yeah, I think the track would really suit him.
What's your take on the National Hunt game at the moment? Obviously, HRI bringing in 60 races to cater for some of the trainers that aren't in the top four in terms of winners in the season has been, I think it's been welcomed, but also a little bit controversial. There are some worries, I suppose, JJ, with regard to field sizes being down and generally the ownership of National Hunt's horse being down. I was noticing there, I was just looking into the Cork National on Sunday, the Cork National has gone down massively in value in the last sort of 14 years. So prize money is in a kind of a precarious enough predicament. What's your take? I know you have your eye on racing apart from being a jockey as well.
Yeah, for sure. It's worrying. Obviously, the bigger stables are dominating more and more, as everyone's been well documented with, obviously, Willie and Gordon and Henry and Gavin are really dominating. And they're the only trainers that have been cut out of those 60 races that you did talk about. I think they'd be a great initiative for, you know, smaller people to give them a chance to win the bumper or maiden hurdle. Like, it wouldn't be a huge amount of races every week. It'd only be, sure, obviously, 60 or 52 weeks in the year. Should do the maths on that yourself. Even the Pint of Pints there recently, I've been going Pint of Pint every Sunday there when I'm injured. At the minute, the Pint of Pint fields are very small. Mares, maidens, three runners in it. Like, that's shocking, really. I don't know why that is the case. Ground is lovely and safe. And there's hardly more than 10 runners on a card in the Pint of Pints recently. So, and there's been more horses being bred in the country more than ever at the minute. So I don't know why that is the case. But racing is not going through a purple patch for field size at the minute anyway.
That's really interesting, actually, because, like, I remember I was talking to Eddie Harty last week about the point-to-point scene, where obviously you have horses now that are on the shop, they're in the shop window point-to-points, they win their four-year-old maiden, they're worth a lot of money, but it's actually hard for all bar a select number of owners, I suppose, to get them. And then there's a concentration in terms of small number of trainers. So you do sound like you're a little bit worried about where that's going as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think the four-year-old division is very strong. Those races look to be really competitive. But outside the four-year-olds, your five-year-old geldings and five-year-old mares, now they're in quite a dire state, I think, to be honest with you. And like, even when I was growing up, all the way up along in Wexford, going pint of pint from a very young age, there was always, you know, look at farmers and people who maybe worked at other jobs would have a horse, and they'd train them during the week or train them before they go to work, and they'd run them at the weekend, and they're all gone out of the game for one reason or another. And that's having a bad effect on, obviously, on number sides. I mean, there was loads of them in Wexford, and North and South Wexford, there was loads of those lads, and that really added to it. They'd have their horse that win their older maiden, and then they go for a winner's of one, and they run them 7 or 8 times in the year. But so that's having a very negative effect on the game, and there's even the crowd sizes, I think, are down to Pint of Pints to minute. So they need to try and reshuffle the thing, and maybe when you talk about Pint of Pint, all they talk about is four-year-olds. They don't talk about open horses. They don't talk about anything else. So they need to try and refresh that and bring the game kind of back to what it was, maybe, I think.
Yeah, and does your father relate to that as well? Like, and also, I suppose the fact that, like, if you know, the cost of training fees are so high now for owners, and the difficulty of taking on the bigger yards is obviously such that maybe it's not as attractive. I've definitely found, JJ, just talking to kind of lads who are involved in horses, that they're nearly more inclined now to have a flat horse because there are more opportunities. Dundalk is there, and it's kind of more straightforward.
Yeah, for sure. I say it's definitely, I nearly say it's easier to win a low level flat race than is a low level jumps race at the minute, because most of the time you're not going to have those high end flat trainers with a horse in a low level flat race. Where you will over jumps, you're nearly going to meet probably three of the top four trainers in one of those. So yeah, the flat game with Dundalk throughout the winter especially definitely offers Daz with a chance of winning with a lower grade horse for sure.
Would you have any take on Cheltenham as well? They've made changes too for the festival in 2025. Willie Mullins spoke to Racing TV and he said that he feels it's too expensive. It's actually very expensive for a day out there and also to stay in the town. But a lot of people that, like, I wasn't at Cheltenham now this year, but a lot of people that I spoke to anecdotally, they just felt that the magic wasn't the same as other years.
Yeah, for sure. But in my position, and maybe a lot of lads riding would say that to you, we don't really feed off the crowd. Only when you win, we just go into our own zone and we go out and ride, and we're just going from the weigh room to the track and back to where, get a bit of food and back to wherever you're staying. So we don't really feed off the crowd as much. But I kind of did notice that there definitely weren't as many people there. I thought around the enclosures and stuff like that, it definitely was easier to get around, which is a sign of there's been smaller crowds about.
So yeah, just if you did miss the start of the show, when are you expecting to be back then, and all going well injury wise?
Yeah, look, sure. The aim is to be back for the John Durkin there, the 24th. So that's the main aim. And we're starting weight bearing again there next week and going to the pool. And the rehab is going pretty well. Obviously in the Curragh, 3 days a week there, doing an hour with Gavin Physio, Gavin Egan. And then I'm doing an hour with Wayne Middleton in the gym. And look, that's going well. And it's keeping me going and keeping my body in relative, some sort of fitness as much as I can. So look, we're going to be able to press on now from next week and see where we stand then, you know.
It must be so much easier for a jockey, like, to have a good horse to look forward to come back, because I guess the amount of jockeys who just, there just aren't the horses there for them.
Yeah, no, for sure. Look at them. I'm in a fortunate position. Hopefully everyone can stay injuries free from now on, horse and rider. Yeah, but look at that, makes things easier. And the game is very competitive in Ireland at the minute. As you say, with those few stables that are dominating, it makes it tough for a lot of people to come across the good horse, you know.
We'll have a look at Down Royal shortly. I will just get JJ's take on this as well. A couple of people I just wanted to mention who passed away. Cato Sullivan, who was long-time involved in HRI and Fairy House and Leopard Sound. She was buried today, and I'd just like to pay tribute to Kate. She was a brilliant person to be around. Only actually figuring out how much fun she was in HRI from talking to former colleagues of her over the last few days, but we were definitely thinking of Kate and her family at this awful sad time. And today, JJ, Alistair Down passed away. It was announced, the race boss. I know you did, you're very unusual for a jockey. You actually did a course in journalism as well, and I'm sure you appreciated the qualities he had with pen paper, and also when he was on TV, the late Alistair Down.
Oh, he was an absolute genius, Johnny. Alistair Down was unbelievable. Like, even back along when he was presenting Channel 4 Racing, he'd come on and he'd say, you know, welcome back to Cheltenham, and the hairs stand up in the back of your neck. You know, the tone of his voice was unbelievable. And his writing was of such a high quality, you know, particularly writing about, you know, National Hunt Racing, and Cheltenham was very close to his heart. So look, it was great to see there the other day that he had the press room named after him, and he was there to that he was there to open it. So look, he'd be sadly missed, and it'll be a while before we'll see a writer as talented coming through now.
I completely agree. And yeah, that I think it's almost unrecognised how good he was on TV. You talk about the hair standing on the back of your neck. I completely get what you're saying. Like, he wouldn't miss a beat the way he'd just come out with this stuff, and it would just make you absolutely buzzing for the day's racing.
Yeah, look, he was unbelievable. Whatever way he had delivered, and it said the tone of his voice, and he used to do some voiceovers for the British race, and it was unbelievable. Like, when he'd say someone was retiring or something, Alistair Down would deliver the speech about him. So he was a genius, really.
Yeah, and it is sad. Like, the, you know, the racing journalists are kind of, they're not what they were in terms of numbers, and a bit like National 100 Racing, it's just the way journalism has gone. You know, these great writers are sadly passing away as the years go by. But just to remember Alistair, I've never seen a racing writer like him, and I probably never will. JJ, we'll talk about the Champion Chase at Down Royal. It's actually funny enough, Paul Nicholls used to kind of target this race. I don't know if he has that in this year. We only have the five runners on Saturday, the 240, the Delta Work, Envoi Alain, Jerry Colomb, who's likely to be a hot favourite as I record this, top price 8 to 11 with William Hill. Hewick makes his comeback for Shar Cannon, who's had his suspension reduced. And Visionarian's actually quite an interesting runner because he beat French Dynamite readily at Goran. And French Dynamite scored subsequently in a good race at Punchestown. What will the ground be like, JJ? They're calling it good to yielding, which is, and in fairness, Willie Mullins doesn't tend to target this festival at all, but probably does have a role in the field sizes.
Yeah, I'm hoping the ground, from what I can see on the TV there today, they look like they've done a good job. Now, they would have had to put a lot of water on that to get that to good to yielding 2 mile circuit in Down Royal up there, isn't it? It's just under 2 miles round, so that would take a lot of water. And especially down off the hill there from the third last to the second last. And fair play to them if they've managed to do that, and hopefully they have, because they just need to keep it safe for those good horses. But yeah, it's going to be a fascinating race, that Champion Chase.
What's your take on it?
Yeah, sure. Look at Jerry Calam, obviously second in the Gold Cup. Very, very, very good horse. The only thing I can probably see beating him is the ground, if it is. Anyway, he's a saddler maker of a Cadu Dalmare. He's going to love, he's a big dour stained galloping horse. And like that's going to, if the ground is a little bit on the dry side, it's going to play into Envoi Allen's and Hughes. It's going to help both of them. Envoi Allen, very strong traveller, right back to his best last season. He's going to be banged there. And like, you can't write off Hughes. He had that comeback run there in Punchestown just a few weeks ago. So it's between the three of them. But I think the ground is going to be the main bear on this. And like 4-6 is probably plenty short about Jerry Calam, given the ground conditions, I think.
Yeah, I'd be with you on that. I'd be wary of taking it. There's another odds on shot then, likely in the Grade 2 Chase, which is for a second year chase, was found at 50, also trained by Gordon Elliott. He's actually by Solskjaer, who, that's probably a story for another day, but he's a sire that has a very colourful backstory. He's taken on Pinkerton, who actually rolled back the years. Noel Meade had a treble at Galway last Saturday in National Hunt, but rolled back the years when he won the Galway Plate. I'm really interested in your take on this, JJ, because it's less than 2.5 miles, but Founder 50 has to give him, he has to give Pinkerton a stone, and Pinkerton is fit from a very nice run in the flat. I don't know, it's you'd nearly be swayed by the fact that he's race fit and also he's getting a stone.
Yeah, sure. Found the 50 was obviously a good novice last year, but Pinkerton, like, to win a Galway Plate there, that, and he's some very good solid handicap runs before that, ran very well in Navan the other day, looked like he was going to win, and just got tired of the last furlong again, the hill. So that's, you say, like, giving him a stone is going to be tough to do. Race, we can't bait race fitness, although you can't be questioning the horse of Gordon Elliott's first time out. They're not going to lack fitness either, but it's going to be a very interesting race to watch. And you know, I would nearly agree with you, and I would nearly be siding with Pinkerton here if I had the choice of riding one. I think I'd nearly be picking Pinkerton this time round anyway.
And today, so Down Royal or the Curra, to look forward to over the weekend?
Look, the Apprentice race is actually intriguing me at the minute now, to be honest, with the three lads, James Ryan, Wayne Hassett and Adam Caffrey. So James Ryan has managed to give himself a nice cushion going in there. He's obviously two in front at the minute, and that's going to take some pegging back. But I just got to look at Wayne's rides in particular. Obviously, through Joseph, we're going to be watching what Wayne is up to. But he's got a strong hand there on Saturday. And look, I'd hate to see any of them lose it. So I'd be setting them for a draw anyway to keep them all happy. But it's fascinating to watch. Yeah, sure. That's what I'm looking forward to, really, for the weekend, to be honest with you.
Don't know if I ever saw a three-way dead heat, but they're three brilliant ambassadors for racing. Three really promising riders. Before we go to the second half of the show, JJ, I have to ask you about City of Troy. Everyone is talking about it. I mean, Alan Sweetman's been writing in the Racing Post that it hasn't grabbed the attention of the wider public. I kind of agree with that, and maybe that's where racing's at the moment. But within racing, everyone is buzzing for it. City of Troy is running on the dirt, if you haven't heard. He's running on the dirt in the Breeders' Cup Classic tomorrow night. It hasn't been done by Aidan O'Brien before. He's by his sire, who was a dirt horse, but he's out of a Galileo bred mare. So it's very, very much up in the air as to whether he'll handle the dirt. And there are other imponderables as well, but I think we all want him to win.
Oh yeah, sure. Everyone is really rooting for him, and look, at fair play to Coolmore for having a go at him and giving it a try. Like it's I think it's a going to be a massive task if you can win it.
Can you explain that, JJ, to people listening? What are the pros and the cons from the Coolmore perspective of giving this a go? Because he is going to stand in Ireland.
He's going to stand in Ireland, but look at it. I see him. They've been doing more and more bowler stuff recently. Like attempted the Triple Crown is a massive one. Like that's you're talking about a horse winning a Guineas, a Derby, and a Ledger, stretching out from a mile to a mile and six, and Camelot nearly done that. And look, they're not afraid to try these bolder moves now.
I think they're getting older as well, you know.
Yeah, but fair play to them for having a go at it. Like this is horses, as you say, traveling over there to Del Mar, the other side, going over to the other side of America. Like it's on the West Coast and running on a surface that he's never ran on before, taking on the best dirt horses, 3-year-old and up in America. Like I think if he wins it, it's a massive task. I think even the style of race in America, they break quick, they go hard early. He needs to be able to get out and get going, and look, it's going to be, if you can win it, he's some airplane.
Right, we're going to get a selection off you, JJ, for our racing followers to follow. I'm going to give you Late Victoria. She's running. She's running tonight, actually, Friday night. She's a horse I've been a big fan of. And she's running on grass. She's actually stretching out and trip. I don't think that'll be a problem at all. A Frankel with a bit of a quirk or two, but she's a brilliant way to finish her races. And again, like JJ saying, I mean, this horse has run plenty of times, and now they're sending her over to America, so they are doing bolder things. So Late Victoria is running at Delmar on Friday. Just looking at the time here, that is at Juvenile Fillies, 10:25. So JJ, give us something.
Yeah, sure. Obviously Lake Victoria, she's done nothing wrong this year, unbeaten, very good in the mile there. I think the American racing will suit her. They will go hard, and I say Ryan will take his time and come home and see what happens. But she's a very good filly, and as you say, maybe once upon a time she'd been put away and been aimed at a Guineas, but the boys have rocked on and sent her over there to America. So it's going to be interesting to watch now.
Thanks a million for your time, JJ, and best luck in your recovery.
Thanks very much, Johnny.
Yeah, this is Racing Pod and Off the Ball. If you're listening to the free version of the podcast, we'll be leaving you here. But if you're looking for some more, including analysis of additional races from the Breeders' Cup and Ireland this weekend, we have the Cork National as well, which is a race that will be dear to Jane Mangan's heart. Go to offtheball.com/join to subscribe and get the full podcast every Friday with all our racing tips, insights and stories from the week's action.
The Racing Pod.
On Off the Ball.
With William Hill. Best odds guaranteed on all Irish and UK racing. 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.